Okay, sehr geehrter Herr Avi Mori, Jakob und Sir Pilcher, sehr geehrter Herr Daniela Scheine, was hier schon fällt. Okay, the Pasuk I'd like to focus on this morning in Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Beis, Nosia Acharei Rabim, Leraos. So the question about following the rov. Rashi says, don't say, I see a lot of people doing one thing, so therefore, I automatically follow them. If they're Lara, then if I see Rishoim, Matim, Mishpat, Lo Somar Hol, V'Rabim Hem, Hinni No Techareim. Don't say just because the masses are doing such a thing that I follow them. In the Mishocha, Nidon, also Mishpat, Al Tanenu, Al Riv. Okay, so Lo Sanah, Achareim, Rabim, Laras. Losan al Riv, Lintos Acharei Rabim Lahatos. And Rashi continues, Imishocha Hanidon Aloso Mishpat, Altanu al Riv Dover Hanot Acharei Osan al Rabim, Hatos is a Mishpat. Don't follow the Rabim to pervert justice. So the simple Pshat in the Pasuk is that it's referring to not following the Rabim. Don't follow the Rabim if they're doing something improper or they're perverting justice. But Chazal understand this pasuk to teach us acharei rabim, that we follow the din of rov. This is the source of, in other words, because you can read the pasuk also acharei rabim lahatos, that you follow the rov. So this is the source of following rov in halacha. So even though the Pshuto Shel Mikra, like Rashi says, Yesh Mikra Zeh Midrashei Chachmei Yisrael, Abo Ein Loshon Mikra Miyushav. In other words, so the simple Pshat is maybe not following the Rabbim. Chazal Darshan, the concept of Acharei Rabbim, Lehatos, to follow Rabbim, to follow Rov. So in Halacha, we have a concept of Rov, and we could really spend the whole year just discussing this concept of rov, but let me explain it to you in several different ways. I always give an example to my Talmidim of the following example. Many years ago, I don't know if any of you have been in the, so there was a fast food store in Washington Heights on the Broyers Hashkacha, and it was called McDovitz. And that was a fast food store with a boy's hashkacha called McDovitz. You get your hamburgers there, and whatever you want. It's closed for many years now. So I always give my Talmidim the following mashal. Say, for example, a person, he goes to McDovitz, and he buys two hamburgers. I remember one year, I was doing bedikas chametz, so really the halacha is you're not supposed to eat dinner before you do bedikas chametz, even when you like when we did in the dormitory. So even though we weren't going to be there the night of the real bedikas chametz, but this was our last night, so we finished bedikas chametz, and then by the time I finished bedikas chametz, I wanted to go eat dinner. The cafeteria was closed by then, so I remember going to McDonald's to get something to eat. So say, for example, a person, he wants to eat three hamburgers. So he goes to, I mean, obviously the following scenario I never would do, obviously, but this is the scenario. You go to McDonald's, they say, okay, we're closing soon. We have two hamburgers left. We have two hamburgers left. We'll sell it to you. So you buy the two hamburgers. But this person wants to eat three. He's hungry. He wants to eat three hamburgers. So what does he do? He goes down the block. He goes to McDonald's. and he gets a hamburger. He takes the wrappings off. Now, this is shtickle theoretical because assuming that you won't be able to tell the difference between the hamburgers, if which you can, then it's not going to apply. But and he goes and he takes off all the wrappers, throws them away, and the three hamburgers all look the same. The three hamburgers all look the same. So you have two McDonald's hamburgers, one McDonald's hamburger, and now the halacha is you could eat all three hamburgers. Minat Torah. You could eat all three hamburgers, even though you're vada eating a treif hamburger. Now, midarabanan, you're not allowed to do this for several reasons. But as far as the Torah is concerned, what I just described to you, again, I would never do it because obviously, first of all, a lot of times you'll be able to tell the difference. And then it won't apply, or in a violinist, but in a theoretical sense, the halacha is that you can eat all three hamburgers, the two McDonald's hamburger, the one McDonald's hamburger, you could eat all three hamburgers. Why? Because of this pasuk of Chumash, acharei rabim lahatos. And you could follow Rov, and we have a concept in halacha called bittul berov. And this is Bittul Barov. This is one illustration of Bittul Barov, that you could go ahead and eat all three. And many poskim say that it's kfira to be machmir. Because what, you don't follow the concept of rov? You don't concept of follow of rov? Of course, there's a din of bit of pasuk and chumash, and we have a mesorah to understand the pasuk that way as well. That it's a din of following Rov, Bittul Barov. There's a machlokas between the Rosh and the Rashba, whether you're allowed to eat them all at the same time. In other words, the Rosh says if you want to make a deluxe triple burger and eat them all at once, the Rosh says you could even do that. And the Rashba says you could you shouldn't eat them all at once. As long as you're eating at different times, that's okay. And in the Shulchan Aruch, in Kuf Tes, it says, "Mutar l'ochlam adam echad kol achas b'fnei atzma, aval lo yochol shloshtam yach." So the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rashba's opinion. You shouldn't eat them all together. But if you want to eat, you'll eat one hamburger. Then 2 minutes later, you'll eat the other hamburger. And you'll eat your other hamburger? Gesundheit. It's good. There's one opinion, more than one, but it's not the general accepted opinion, that you should only have three different people or two different people eat them. So this one, each one could say, he's the Shagetz, but each one, but that's the opinion, but that's not the generally accepted sheet. The generally accepted sheet is that one person can eat all three of them. Provided that, according to the Rashba, he doesn't eat it at one time, and according to the Rosh, even if he eats it at one time, and there's one the sheet there, the Tosas Rid, that it's like I said, and the Tosas that not to do that, but that's the simple shot, and according to many sheetas, it's kfira to say I don't want to do such a thing. It's not right. No, the Torah says the din of Rov. You follow Rov. There is a question. There's a tshuva sefer called the Tshuvas Oneg Sefer. Well, let me tell you before I say that. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch says the following, and this comes up in people's houses. Say every once in a while, we're eating dinner, and my wife and I said we're eating dinner, and all of a sudden, we're eating hamburgers, whatever it is, steak, whatever it might be. And then all of a sudden, you wake up and say, "We're using the Milka cutlery. We're using the Milka cutlery." So all of a sudden, you get, so we put it aside, we put it aside. So One of these days we have a nice stack of things that got messed up over the years that we just didn't get to. One of these days we'll do it because sometimes there won't be enough forks to go around if we don't do them. So, but every once in a while, you know what happens? Somebody will call me and say, I put the fork aside, but the cleaning lady, she's a nice lady, and she saw it, so she put it back in the thing. She put it back in the thing. The cleaning lady put it back in the thing, and with the regular forks. So the Shulchan Aruch says, so what do you have there? You have 10 forks that were there before, and the 11th is the one she put back in. So then the halacha is also, it's batel. It's batel. And you could use it. You don't have to now say, oh, we got one that needed to be kasher. Now I have to kasher all of them because I don't know which one it is. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's batel. It's batel. Rav Shechem said, "Rav Salvation, maybe b'zman hazeh we should be machmir because it's very easy to kasher." But like Rav Amadi pointed out, the simple pshat is it's batel. Now there's a discussion in the Oneg Yontif for the following. Say you have something that requires lishma. You have to make the matzah lishma. You have to make the tzitzis strings lishma, and you had a mishap that the lishma, the string that wasn't made lishma, got mixed in the strings of lishma. So now when you take the string, you don't know which one. Is this a good string or not? So the Oneg Yontif has a discussion, and he is noted to say that the concept of bittul is only if you have something that's negative, and the bittul takes away the negativity. But say you have something that requires a positive thing. In other words, this matzah needs, it's kosher l'Pesach matzah, but it wasn't made l'shma. Or the strings weren't spun lishma, so then the Oneg Yontif says, then when it comes to bittul is only to take away negativity, but it's not to give positive attribute to something that needs a positive attribute that doesn't have it. So you don't say, well, so the matzahs, I have 10 matzahs, and 8 of them were made for the shame mitzvahs matzah, and 2 of them are kosher l'Pesach, but they weren't made lishma. So therefore, I can use all of them for the Seder. So says the Oneg Yontif, no, that the din of bittul, this is called bittul chad b'tre yovish b'yovish, takes away negativity but doesn't give positive attributes that didn't exist because of the bittul. Bittul won't give; it'll take away. In other words, you have the two McDavid's meat and one McDonald's, so that'll take away the fact that it's treif and that you can eat it. So I think a nafkamina would be the following. I want to discuss this with Ravadi, that what if, for example, somebody was Tovel Kalim, right? He went to the mikveh, he bought the Kalim from the Jew, he was Tovel Kalim, and then there was one of two forks that he forgot to Tovel, and they got mixed in. And they got mixed in. So if it would have been treif, then the Shulchan Aruch says, when it comes to treif, it's batel. But perhaps based on the, some want to say, based on, this goes around body, some want to say, based on the Oneg Yontif, that if you need to bring it to the mikveh to give it, like Rav Shechter says from the Rabbeinu Yonah, that bring it to the mikveh gives the kelim the kedusha. It's sort of like Rav Shechter said from Rabbeinu Yonah, it's like a gerus on the kelim because they were owned by a goy, so it has to be mala and the kedusha, but bring it to the mikveh. So then, if these forks, two forks out of the 10, weren't brought, so now you don't say, well, it's batel, because bittel doesn't give positive attribute. Bittel only takes away negativity. And if the kelim that are bought from a goy require positive attribute, so then it doesn't work, according to the opinion of the Oneg Yontif. Now there's another halacha in the following case. Listen to this. What's the din if a person finds a piece of meat in the street? Finds a piece of meat in the street. So today, if we find a piece of meat in the street, I don't think anyone would touch it, you know. But you find a piece of meat in the street, and you don't know, is it a kosher piece of meat or it is a treif piece of meat? So what's the halach? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, it depends on how many butcher stores there are in the neighborhood. Say there are nine kosher butcher stores and one treif butcher store. So then you have a right to assume that this piece of meat came from the rove, called the parish meruba parish, that this piece of meat came from the majority, which is the kosher butcher stores. As we said, there were nine kosher butcher stores and one treif butcher store. And the reverse, what if there were one kosher butcher store and nine treif butcher stores? Then the halacha is, if the one kosher butcher store, we assume that it's treif. Because, so this is different than bittul barov. This is one piece of meat. It's not bittul barov that one got mixed in with two, and now we have majority. This is another type of majority. This majority is, where do I have a right to assume in halacha that the piece of meat came from? Because here's the piece of meat in the street. I don't know where it came from. It could have come from the nine. It could have come from the kosher, or could have come the butcher or the non-kosher butcher. So the halacha is then called the parish meruba parish, that anything that's no longer in its original zone of where it came from, we assume it came from the rove, whatever the majority was. Called the parish meruba parish. Now, the question is the following. What would be if you find out in the future, say you eat, so say there are more kosher meat, nine butchers are kosher, one is treif. And you should know, I'll tell you another halacha also. You know, say you have a bay, you know, we don't have this so much today, but there was a time that you had a, you opened, they say, Reb Chaim Brisker, people used to bring babies in front of his door that they couldn't take care of. Say, all of a sudden, you find a baby in the street. You find a baby in the street. So, is it Jewish or non-Jewish? So the Gemara says the same thing. If most of the people in the town are Jewish, then you could assume it's Jewish. If most of the people are non-Jews, and then it's non-Jews. But let's get back to the meat case. You had a piece of meat in the street, and it was unidentified. So, and there are
Because
nine kosher
most of
butchers.
the people are Jewish, but what about most of the people are Kohanim? Yuchsin doesn't work. It's more like the only
Yeah,
Yuchsin.
by Yuchsin is a different thing. By Kohun, right? Okay, so then you have nine. Again, nine kosher butchers, one treif butcher. You find a piece of meat in the street. Oh, you say, Gewaldik, I'm hungry. I want to eat the piece of meat. And then a week later, someone comes to you and says, you know, last week I left a bag of meat on the street. It tells you exactly when it was, what time it was. And it was non-kosher because I needed to get non-kosher meat for whatever reason. And then for some reason, I was called aside and I left the bag there. I left the bag there. And then I forgot to come back. And then the guy says, you know, that was the piece of meat. That was the piece of meat that I ate. That was the piece of meat that I ate. So, no, do you have to do tshuva? You have to do tshuva. So this is a machlokas in the Achron, whether you have to do tshuva or not. Rav Shimon, so the Chasam Sofer says this, and this Chasam Sofer I recently saw Rav Bleich quotes in an article, maybe Rav Blumenfracht in his book on the Cholos Trefer, I think, might quote it. Is that no? The Torah says I have the right to follow Rav. So I follow Rav. I did what the Torah says, and I have a right to. I have a right to eat it, and I ate it. So at the end of the day, if I find out that in reality it wasn't good, it was really trace, but I followed a pasuk in the Chumash, and I have a right to do so. Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Acharei Rabim Latos, I followed the pasuk. That's the Chasam Sofer. Reb Shimon Shkop says no. Reb Shimon Shkop says that the concept of following Rav is because you don't know the reality. So the Torah doesn't have the attitude. So sometimes the halacha is you don't know, so suffik l'chumra, whatever. But here, we have a suffik. But the Torah says, you know, you have a suffik. If you have a suffik, just don't throw it away. You have a suffix, so you have a right to follow Rav, to mevarer the suffix. You can follow Rav. So Rav Shimon Shkop says, yeah, but that's called Zman, it's a suffix. Now that I know the reality, you don't follow Rav in the case where you know the reality is the contrary. But it's too late. I ate it already. So Rav Shimon Shkop says, but you need kapara when you're going to klap al chait on Yom Kippur, al chait shechatanu fanecha, you know, a machal of a mishteh, you'll have in mind that. So that's what Rav Shimon Shkop held. And Rav Chasam Sofer held not that. Chasam Sofer, now when it comes to the first, now let me tell you the thing. When it comes to the first illustration that I gave you, the case of the three pieces of meat, with the two kosher, two McDonald's, one McDonald's. So there you know for sure the reality is you ate treif. But that's a din of bittul barov. And bittul barov, for sure you ate treif, and afal pikein, you knew that from the get-go, that you had a treif piece of meat there. And yet, you know for sure you're eating treif. So that, but yet the Torah says you can eat it. So then, of course, you don't need kapar. For sure, you don't need kapar because you knew it was the Torah is telling you. You know it's treif, and afal pikein. That's because there's a mixture. You don't know which is which. You have three pieces of meat. It's not a physical mixture. They're not woof together. But in your mind, you don't know. You know three pieces of meat. You don't know which is which. Which are the two that are kosher? Which is the one that's treif? So then, for sure, you don't need kapara for that. The question is, in the case of when there's one piece of meat and it's not a mixture, but it's one piece of meat alone, and it's in the street and you don't know where it came from, so that's the question. Is that halacha? So I always thought like Rav Shimon Shkop, because that was my... Just recently I came across that the Chasam Sofer says differently. But because Rav Shimon Shkop says, but Maisa, you had a right. But now you know that it was a mistake. So a rov can't, a bittul barov creates a new reality. A bittul barov, when it's a mixture, where I have three pieces of meat, I don't know which is which. But this is not a bittul barov. This is a zlina basaru. That's a fascinating discussion. I'll tell you another point. Rav Shechter once pointed out, you know, based on his working for the OU, being posted for the OU, that the policy in the OU, and maybe others as well, is they don't follow Bittel in Hashkacha. In other words, even though we just got through saying Bittel is a halacha, and you're not supposed to be machbir, but he said the reason why we don't do it is because the consumer, when he buys something that has an OU, his mind is, this is 100% kosher. There's no iota of tarfus in here. That's the consumer's mindset. And therefore, it would be, so to speak, being disingenuous to the, dishonest to the consumer, to misleading the consumer, even though al pi halacha it would be true if it would be batel. But since in his mind, that's not what he's trying to get, so therefore, in other words, OU has halacha, but they also have policy. So the policy, the idea is they're not going to follow, they're not going to use something that has any non-kosher ingredients in it, even though the non-kosher ingredients might be bottled. Then we have to talk about shishim and other things like that as well. But but not because of halacha, as the chapter said, but because of like kosher mishpat. In other words, you're misleading, somebody. I mean, and therefore that's the. So therefore, therefore, from that perspective, they don't do it. But not because it's not good al pi halacha. Al pi halacha, we have a dinner of bittul. We said that okay, bittul is even more complex than what we said there. But that's the idea. And so only because of this is what the consumer is expecting, they don't do that. But not because it's al pi din. Okay. Just a couple of mele de'agada. We said, even though the pasuk is saying to follow rov, we started off the shiur by saying that the pasuk is really the simple pshat of the pasuk is saying that don't follow the rabbim if the rabbim are perverting justice or doing something that's not proper, even though it's the even though they're the majority, the numbers are with them. That's a big nisayon, not to follow, if there's certain culture, certain, thing that this is what everyone does, and even though you think it's not honest, not proper, so it's a big nisayon. But that's what the Torah is saying. Don't follow the rabbim if the rabbim are not acting properly. That's the simple pshat of the pasuk. Now, Chazal understood it to teach us the din of rov. It's a different pshat in the pasuk. So I was looking, the Shemi Shmuel says a fascinating comment in the beginning of this week's parsha. We talk about Eved Ivri. And Eved Ivri goes out after 6 years. And he says, why is it that the Torah calls him an Eved Ivri? Usually we don't use the word Ivri. Kud Yisrael usually is the word for a Jewish person. What's the idea of Ivri? So he says, Ivri is the idea of Kolo, like by Avram Avinu, Kolo Olam Kulo Al Ever Echad. And Avram was on, in other words, Avram Avinu was the first person, the Ivri, Ivri Anochi. In other words, he's the first person the whole world was idol worshippers. So the whole world was on one side of the river, so to speak, metaphorically. And Avram Avinu is the Ivri. He's on the other side. He's the other side of the river. Because the idea being that an Ivri is a person who has conviction to do what's right, even if Kol Olam Kulo is on one side of the river, but I don't think that they're acting properly. That's the midah of Ivri. And he says, and that ultimately, if you have that attitude, then you're a ben chor. Because if you're a person who always says, I'm going to follow whatever the accepted norm of the day, even if it's not proper, then you're meshubad. That's why an Eved Ivri, he goes out after 6 years. He's never going to be a full bondage of an Eved Ivri. Because if a person's an Ivri, he has that midah of an Ivri. So then what? So then that midah of an Ivri is the midah of Cheirus. And that's why he might need money, so he has to sell himself for 6 years, but then he goes free. Because he's a person that inherently has an independent mind of being acting according to what he believes is emes, and not just following the norms of the society. There's another word I want to tell you that I heard many years ago from Dr. Lamb, Satsal. He said the following pshat on the pasuk in Parshas Bahaloscha. Right, even so Aaron, right? So we know over there that the nunim hafuchim. Nunim hafuchim, right? The nun, the two nuns that are hafuch, they're inverted. And what is the significance of the nunim hafuchim? So Dr. Lamb quoted a Medrash Yalkut Ruveni based on that, but he said the following. It's interesting that the word nun, nuna, if you learn Gemara, so what does nun mean? Nuna is a fish. Is a fish. That's what, if you learn, it in Gemara, you come across it. That the word fish in Aramaic is nuna. Nun, nunim. So he says, what's a nun hafuch? A nun hafuch is fish that are swimming against the tide. They're swimming against the tide. The tide of the sea is going one way, and they're trying to swim against the tide. And that's what it says, the Yalkut Ruveni, that this idea, these nunim hafuchim or yisod and yiddishkeit, so what's the big yisod? So that's what Dr. Lamb said, that's the pshat. He said the same idea that the Shem Yishmul said by Ivri. That Ivri means, again, a person sometimes wants to be independent. So sometimes people, you know, don't have the proper masorah of what's you know, independence, what's not independence. But he knows that the person that there's something in society that's, you know, perverting honesty and perverting Jewish values. And he's the Ivri. Kol Olam like Avram Avinu. Kol Olam Kulo believed in pagans. And he was on the other side. So that's what Dr. Lamb said. That's what the Nunim Hafuchim represent. The Nun is a fish. And the fish, Hafuchim, means they're going against the tide of the river. In other words, so the tide of the time might be some value or something like that that people believe, you know, and he thinks that it's not honest or it's not proper. And that's a big nisayon for a person. See, in halacha, when we do follow rov, because that's the rov, an honest rov. But that's what the pasuk is saying. But if as Rashi points out, if it's something that's not honest, not erlich, not proper, so then there's an isser to follow the rov. So it's interesting that halacha has this concept of besides the idea of what reality is, you know, we follow rov. And it's interesting, like Rav Shechter points out, anytime we eat meat, we're following rov. When you go home tonight and you can eat chicken, you can eat meat. So it's not only the case where you find a piece of meat in the street, like Rav Shechter pointed out. You know, there's a lot of treifus in halacha. So we don't, as Shechter pointed out, we don't trek for every trefus possibility. If we would trek for every trefus in the animal, as Shechter pointed out, we the production of kosher meat would be very, very limited. Because, you know, to check every single spot in the animal to see that there's no puncture here and there's no puncture here. So we only do the ones that are more likely to have a trefa in them, like the lungs. You know, when we talk about glatt kosher, we're checking the lungs to see. But the other parts of the animal that could be treif, but the rove is that we don't usually find to be treif. We just say we follow the rove, and we have a right to assume that this animal is kosher, that it's coming from It's coming from the Rov, even though we weren't totally, we didn't totally check it out, because we're not, it would make life impossible if we didn't have follow certain assumptions. And one of the assumptions is we follow a Rov. We only check if there's what we call a miyut hamotzei. A miyut hamotzei. In other words, if there's a, the Rov is this way, but there's a miyut, but miyut's not like a 2% miyut. The miyut is something much greater. In other words, you could have a 10% miyut, you could have a 40% miyut. In other words, something that's much more, you know, the miyut is much bigger. So then, so Shabtu pointed out, then you have to check for the miyut. This has to do also with Shatan's testing. You know, Baruch Hashem, we're in an era that the people, you know, there was a time people forgot about Shatan's and the word, you know, and now people, but the question is, like, do you have to check really for everything? So I always tell people, you know, it's not like you're living in whatever, New York, LA, whatever, you have the ability, so definitely you should, definitely you should check. But sometimes you have a situation where he just got the suit and there's no ability to check and he needs it for the simcha. So then you have to look into, is my chiyuv of checking shatnez in this particular case halachically imperative? Or maybe no, I follow the Rov. And this type of suit is kamat, you know. So even though I'd like to check just to, you know, make sure that everything is 100%, but maybe that's just, in certain cases, it's just a chumrah. Certain cases, it's just a chumrah because the miyut of this type of suit, and this, the Lev Avram has a tshuva about this, and others discuss this as well. This type of suit, the way some say, is very unlikely, and therefore we wouldn't necessarily have to check according to many poskim Medina, just the chumrah, and then sometimes maybe one would be allowed to wear it until he checks it, because the chiv of the bedika is of that particular thing was just chumrah, but Medina, we follow the Rov, and the miyut is not even a miyut hamotzer, and therefore that chiv to check, midrabanan, as Rosh Hashanah pointed out, might not be an absolute chiv. So that's the idea. So these are some of the basic yisodas in Rov. Again, there's a lot more to say about this topic, but when to follow Rov, when not to follow Rov, and the two types of Rov, the Bittel Barov and the Azlina Basaruba, the case of the three pieces of meat that we started off with, the case of the meat in the street, okay, the question what you need if in the end it turns out that you followed the Rov, but it was wrong. The reality in that case was wrong. So do you need a kapara? You say, no, I followed the Chumash. What else do you want from me? And that's the... And that's the question, and then the flip side of the pasuk shan in the pasuk is referring to not following the Rov in the case where the Rov is corrupt, and that's the discussion.